Shas Illuminated presents the following shiur by Rabbi Moshe Chaim Byron. Maseches Yevamos has been dedicated by Mutti and Hadassah Jacobowitz, Lezecher Nishmas Yaakov Zev ben Repesach Yosef.
Yevamos Daf Lamed Ches. The Gemara is discussing various scenarios, how the Yerusha gets divided when you have a ben, where there's a suffix if he was born from the first husband or from the second husband who did Yibam. Now the Gemara says, in the case of Safik v'yavam shebo lachleg b'nichsei saba, the grandfather died, and now this yavam wants to get the Yerusha, and the Safik wants to get the Yerusha. The Safik says that I should get a chelik, because I'm the son of the first brother, so I should get my father's chelik. And the yavam says, I should get the whole thing, because you're my son, so you don't get anything. And the Gemara says that the yavam is a vadai, and ein Safik mitzi midei vadai. Now there's a fundamental machlokes here between Rashi and Tosfos. What exactly is this klal? Ein sofek mitzi midei vaday. Rashi understands that the yavam is called a vaday is because he definitely has a chelik in some of the nechassim. He definitely gets something, as opposed to the sofek, he perhaps gets nothing. That's what makes the yavam into a vaday and the sofek into a sofek. Rashi was actually bothered by Akasha. Why is this different than the Gemara in Lamed Zayin Amud Beis? Rav Mesharshia says over there, in a different case, the case of sofek ubnei yavam, shebo lachlek b'nichsei misna. The Yavam already died and he has sons. And both the Safik and the Bnei Yavam both want to get the Nechassim of the first brother. So the Gemara says, perhaps the Safik should get everything because he Vadei has a certain Chelik in these Nechassim. Either he gets everything because he's the only son of the Mace. And even if he's not the son of the Mace, and he's a son of the Yavam, so him and his brothers, the other sons of the Yavam, will all get an equal Chelik in this Yerusha. But Al-Kabanim, he definitely gets something. So the Gemara has a tzad to say that since he vaday gets something, then he's considered a vaday and they're considered a safik and he should get everything. On that, Rav Mesharshia answered that no, both of them are sfeikis. And Rashi explains that Rav Mesharshia means to say, even though this safik, ben zayin, ben teisha, he definitely will get something, but he doesn't know mikoyach what is he getting this Yerusha. He knows that Meman of Shachi gets something either as a son of the Mace or as a son of the Yavam, but since he does not know Batara's vaday, who he's coming mikayach, so we cannot call him a vaday, as opposed to the other ones calling them a sofik. So in other words, Rashi was bothered by, what's the difference between that case of sofik ubnei yavam, b'nichsei misna, and this case over here, sofik v'yavam b'nichsei saba, and Rashi explains that over here, by sofik v'yavam b'nichsei saba, the yavam is considered a vaday, as opposed to the sofik, he's called a sofik, because the yavam knows, b'nichsei vaday, who is coming to get the Yerusha mikayach. He's coming to get it from his father. He's definitely a son of the Saba. And since he definitely gets something, so ain't Safik Moitzi Midei Vaday, and we give him everything. As opposed to the case before of Safik Ubnei Yavam, so even though the Safik definitely gets something, but that's not enough to call him a Vaday, he has to know, Mikoyach, what is he getting it? Akoponim Taisis quotes B'Shem Rashi, that ain't Safik Moitzi Midei Vaday, what's called a Vaday, someone who definitely gets something, but there's a condition, he has to know why he's getting it. Once he knows why he's getting it, and he definitely gets something, that's enough to make him into a vaday, and Mamela will give him the whole Yerusha. And Tosfos quotes B'Shem the Rashbam in Baba Basra, who holds like Rashi as well. The Mishnah over there is talking about a case, Nofel Habayis Olov Val Imoy. The house falls on a mother and a son, and we're not sure which one of them died first, and the Shaila is about the Yerusha. The Yerushay Ha'im say that the son died first, and therefore at the time the mother died, the son was gone already, and therefore the other Yerushaim get all the Yerusha. And the Yerushim of the son, for example, if he has brothers from the same father, so they definitely get the Yerusha of their brother. But they also want to get a chelik in the Yerusha of the mother. They say that the mother died first, and then the son, and therefore at the time the son died, he already had a Yerusha from his mother, and then the Yerusha gets passed along to them. And the Rashbam says that Al-Karchach, the case over there, is talking about that the mother does not have any other sons besides this one that died. And the Yerusha'im means her brothers or her father, because if there was another son, she originally had two sons, we'll call them Yosef and Binyamin. Yosef was the one who died together with his mother, we'll call her Rachel. Then when at the time Rachel died, she still has one remaining son, Binyamin. Binyamin definitely has a schus to get half of her Yerusha. Now the question just is, who should get the other half of her Yerusha? Should Binyamin get all of it, or should half of the Yerusha, the chelik that would have gone to Yosef, get passed on to Yosef's brothers, his brothers from his father's side? We'll say Reuven, for example, because it depends. If Yosef died before his mother, then when Rachel dies, she has one remaining son, Binyamin, and he gets all of it. If, however, Rachel died before Yosef, So at the time Rachel died, half of her nechassim is supposed to go to her son Yosef. And then when Yosef dies afterwards, those nechassim get passed on to Reuven, so Binyamin will end up with half, and Reuven will end up with half. If this was the case, the Rashbam says, then we would say, Ein Sofik Moitzi Midei Vadei. Since Binyamin definitely gets half of the nechassim of his mother, the question is about the other half. Should Binyamin get that as well, or should the other half of Rachel's nechassim go to Reuven? There we would say the klal of Ein Sofik Moitzi Midei Vadei. And therefore the Rashbam says the case is obviously talking about Rachel did not have any other sons. The only son that she had was Yosef, the one who died at the same time as she did. And the one who wants her nechassim is either her father or her brother. And in this case, there's no Ein Sofik Moitzi Midei Vadei. None of her nechassim are vadei. All of her nechassim are questionable whether they should go to her father or whether they should go to Reuven. If Yosef had died first, all of her nechassim go to her father. And if she died before Yosef, so at the time she died, her nechassim went to Yosef. And then when Yosef dies, it all gets passed to Reuven. So all of the nechassim are questionable. There's no vadei over here. Therefore, they would divide the nechassim equally. This is the shita of the Rashbam in Baba Basra, and that fits aderech the shita of Rashi over here in Er Sugyo, the way Rashi explains Ein Sofik Moitzi Midei Vadei. Tosis, however, argues on the Rashbam, both here in Er Sugyo, as well as in Baba Basra, Daf Kuf Nun Ches Omid Aleph, and Tosis says that here we would not apply the svara of Ein Sofik Moitzi Midei Vadei. He says Ein Sofik Moitzi Midei Vadei does not mean to say that any time one person gets half of his claim, Memela also we give him the rest of it. Taisa says this has no svara, there's no reason to say that just because he gets half, he should get the other half as well. He brings a number of rayas to this. One raya he brings from the din of Shnayim Oichzim Betalis. If one person says Kula Shali, and one person says Chetzia Shali, so the din is that the one who said Kula Shali, he definitely gets half, because in half there was no argument. And on the second half, they divide equally, and therefore the one who said Kula Shali will end up with 3/4, and the one who said Chetzia Shali will end up with 1/4. And Taisa says, why don't we say over here also Ein Sofik Moitzi Midei Vadei? Since the one who's saying Kula Shali definitely gets half, maybe we should give him the whole thing. Obviously, Taisa says, we see that from here, that we don't say that just because a person gets half, but maybe we give him the rest of it. And therefore, Taisa has a different pshat in Er Sugyo, what the Gemara means, Ein Sofik Moitzi Midei Vadei. The Gemara means to say that over here, where there's a Sofik and a Yavam, they both want to collect the Nechassim of the Saba, so Taisa says that the Yavam is called a Vadei. He is a definite Yerish. He definitely is coming to claim the Nechassim from his dead father. The Sofik, however, Taisa says, he's a Sofik Yerish. He does not have any definite claim over here. Perhaps his father was the first brother, the one who died, and if that's the case, then he could come collect the Nechassim of his grandfather on behalf of his father. However, if he's the son of the second brother, he has no claim at all. He has no rights to these Nechassim of the Saba. This is what the Gemara means, Ein Sofik Moitzi Midei Vadei. If one is a Vadei Yerish and the other is a Sofik Yerish, there we say Ein Sofik Moitzi Midei Vadei, and we give all the nechassim to the Vadei Yerish. However, Taisa says, in the case of Nafla Bayis Olav Val Imoy, even if Rachel did have another son, Binyamin, and Binyamin definitely has rights to half of the Yerusha, but on the second half of the Yerusha, then there are two Sfekas over here. Reuven and Binyamin are both considered a Sofik Yerish in the other half of the nechassim, and therefore he concludes, not like Rashi and the Rashbam, that even if there was another son, still the din would be that Reuven and Binyamin, they divide the nechassim. Now Tosfos seems to be still difficult to understand what exactly is the chilik if in our case we're calling the Yavam a Vadei Yerush, since he definitely has a schus to claim the Yerusha from his father, as opposed to the Sofik, we're not sure if he's the son of the person who died, the Saba, therefore he does not have a Vadei claim. What is that different than the case of Baba Basra? This mother has one son who's still alive, L'cher, he also is a Vadei. He definitely has a claim on the Yerusha, as opposed to the relatives of the dead brother. They don't have a Vadei claim to the Yerusha. Their whole claim is only on the Tzad, that their brother died after the mother, and since that's a Sofik, so they're a Sofik Yerish. B'kitzer, so what's the difference between Er Gemara, the Yavam, we're calling him a Vadei Yerish, and in the case of Baba Basra, we're not calling the sons who are still alive a Vadei Yerish on the whole Yerusha. So there are a few explanations. The Aruch HaNer understands in the Kavanah of Tosfos. The Tosfos means to say that in the case of Er Gemara, the Yavam, he's a Vadei Yerush on the whole Yerusha. Because at the time the first brother died, the brother who caused the situation of Yibam, at the time he died, so the Yavam was the only son left from the father, at that point he definitely had a right to collect the whole Yerusha if the father would have died. Even though the father did not die yet, but at the moment, he was the sole potential Yerush of the father. And even though afterwards a son was born, and we have a Sofik, if this son was from the first brother or from the second brother, and on the side that this son was from the first brother, now the Yavam is not the only potential Yerush of the grandfather, because the son takes the place of his father, and now the two of them, the Suffolk and the Yavam, will Gershon equally the grandfather. But since up until that point, when the child was born, the Yavam was Huchzak, he had the assumed status as the sole Yerush of the grandfather, now when the Suffolk arises, is there actually another Yerush or not? On this we use the klal Ein Suffolk Moitzim Midei Vadai, and we leave things the way they were. We consider the Yavam the only Yerush, since up until this point, that's what we had assumed. Masha'enkin, in the case of Nafal Habayis Olov Val Imoy, where we're not sure who died first, the mother or the son, Eichanami, if the son died first, so the other brother will be the sole Yerush of the mother, and he'll get the whole Yerusha, but there never was a point in time that he was Muchzik, that he was assumed to have the status as the only Yerush, and therefore we're not going to call him a Vadai, he's still going to be called a Suffolk. And therefore both the brother who's still alive and the Kravim, the relatives of the dead brother, they're both called a Suffolk, and there the din will be Achleiku. There we don't say Ein Suffolk Moitzim Midei Vadai. That's how the Aruch HaNer understands B'das Tosfos. Now if we take a look at the Ritva says similar Mahalach to Tosfos, but he seems to have a little bit of a different Hezber. And Rabbi Chanan in Kavod Shiurim on Baba Basra, Ois Tof Kuf Ayin Vav, he explains like this as well. They say in the case of Nafal Habayis Olav Al Imai, there we can't say that Binyamin, the remaining son of Rachel, is a Vadai, and the brothers of Yosef Minaav, Ruvain, he's a Safik. Because over there, the question at hand is not who is the correct Yerush of Rachel. Even though the Nechasim that we're discussing, the possessions at question are Rachel's possessions, but the question is not who is a Vadai or a Safik Yerush of Rachel. Here, definitely, Binyamin is a Vadai Yerush of Rachel, and Ruvain is a Vadai Yerush of Yosef. And here the Safik is not who's more of a relative, rather who's the Meirish? Where's the Yerusha coming from? If the Yerusha is coming from the mother, it definitely goes to her sons, the ones who are still alive. If the Yerusha is coming from the son who died, then it's definitely his relatives. The question is, who's the Meirish? If Rachel died first, half of her Nechasim definitely went to Yosef. Then when Yosef died, Yosef's Yerush is Ruvain, he'll get all of those Nechasim. If, on the other hand, Yosef died before Rachel, then when at the time Rachel dies, she's the Meirish, all of the Nechasim go to Binyamin. So the Suffolk right now is Yosef the Meirish or is Rachel the Meirish? Where are these Nechasim coming from right now? So for that, it's an equal Suffolk. It's not Shaykh Bukhal to say over here, Ein Suffolk Moitzim Midei Vadai. Therefore, over there, the din is Yechloiku. Now one could be Ma'ayin in the Ramban. He also says a similar Mahalach, like Tosis and the Ritva. He seems to say even a different Nusach, which would be Mashma, a third Mahalach. One could take a look over there. In the last case of the Gemara, Sabo v'Safik v'Nichse Yovam, the Gemara says this is Mamen Amuto b'Safik Cholkin. If you have the Sabo, meaning the father of the two brothers, and then you also have the Safik, the son, we're not sure if he's from the first husband or from the second husband, and they both want a Yarshin, the Nechasim of the Yovam. So the grandfather says, this is my son, I deserve the Yerusha. The grandson says, this is my father, I'm the first to get the Yerusha. Since L'maisa, it's a Suffolk, whether this is actually his father or not, so the din is Cholk, and they divide the Yerusha. Now we mentioned earlier in Avlam Zayin Amid Beis, a Yisoid from the Rosh was talking about a case of Suffolk v'Yavam b'nichse misna. The Suffolk and the Yavam both want to get the Yerusha from the Mace, from the first brother. The Suffolk says that this is my real father, the first father was the real one, and therefore I get the whole Yerusha. And the brother says, no, you're not the son from the first father, you're my son. So since the first brother died without children, and I did Yibum, the din is the Yavam inherits all the Nechasim of the Mace. Now the Rosh asks Akasha over there, let the Yavam say, Dal mehocha ha-Yibum, forget about the fact that I did Yibum, either way I should get the Nechasim, because I'm a definite brother of the Mace, and you're a Suffolk if you're a son of the Mace. And the din is that a Vadai relative gets the Yerusha before a Suffolk relative, even in the case where the Suffolk relative, on the tzad, he really is the relative, he's closer, still the Vadai relative, who's further, he gets the Yerusha. The Rosh proves this from the Mishnah and Afkuf Amid Beis. We're talking about over there, a Suffolk ben Zayin, a Suffolk ben Teisha. We're not sure if he's born from the first husband or from the second husband. Not necessarily in the case of Yibum Stam, a woman remarried within 3 months of the death of the first husband. She wasn't supposed to, but she did. And a child is born, we're not sure if it's from the first husband or from the second husband. So the Mishnah says that this child who's a Suffolk cannot Yarshin either father. because the relatives of each one could push him away and say, we're vade a relative, you're only a Sofik. And the Rosh understands that that Mishnah is true even in a case where the mace does not have any of his own definite children. All he has, for example, is a father or a brother. So on the side that this Sofik ben Zayin, Sofik ben Teisha, really is a son of the mace, he should be first to get the Yerusha. A son is the first, before anyone else. Still, since these other relatives are a Vadai and he's a Sofik, they get the Yerusha and he does not get anything. And here as well the Rosh asks, let the Yavam say that just the fact that I'm a brother, that's the reason that I should get the whole Yerusha, because I'm a Vadai relative as opposed to this Ben, who's only a Sofik. And the Rosh answers that we have to say the case is talking about that there's a grandfather who's still alive, the father of the two brothers, he's still alive, and therefore the Ach, the Yavam, cannot claim the Yerusha midin Karayv. He cannot say that I should get the Yerusha because I'm the closest Vadai relative. No, there's someone who's closer, the father. He gets the Yerusha before the brother of the mace. And therefore the Yavam has to claim the Yerusha mikayach Gibam. Mikayach, the fact that he did the mitzvah of Yibam, that gives him the Yerusha of the mace. But legabe that, he's only a Sofik. Maybe he really did not do Yibam. Maybe this child really was from the first brother and there was no mitzvah Yibam over here. So both the Sofik, both the child and the Yavam, they're both coming mikayach Sofik. Therefore the din is yachleiku, they divide it. Now the Mashah asks a very strong kasha on this Rosh from the Gemara here in Daf Lamed Ches, from this last case of Saba v'Sofik b'nichse Yavam. He says in this case, you should still have the taina of the Rosh. Here the Saba is coming to get the Yerusha from his son, the Yavam. He's definitely the father of the Yavam, and he has a din Yerusha midin Kurva, the father. And this Sofik is only a Sofik whether he's the son of this Yavam. Perhaps he's the son of the first brother. Why don't we say over here this same klal, like the Rosh had asked, that the Saba should get it, since he's a Vadai, as opposed to the son who's only a Sofik, and even though the son perhaps may be a closer relative, a son comes before the father, Legabi Yerusha, but since he's a Sofik, and the Saba is a Vadai, the Saba should get the whole Yerusha. And from here the Mashah proves, not like the Rosh, and the Mashah says, the Mishnah on Daf Kufa Mebeiz, the case of the Sofik ben Teisha, or Sofik ben Shiva, you're not sure which father he's from, the Mishnah says he cannot get a Yerusha from either father. The Mashal says that case is talking about that there are definite sons. Each father has Vadai Banim, and therefore these Vadai Banim definitely have a Chelik in the Yerusha. So this Sofik, if he wants to also get a Chelik, they could tell him, we're Vadoim, and you're a Sofik. But in a Chanami, if there are no other sons to this father, he only has brothers, or he has a father who wants the Yerusha, there, the Sofik is, if this child is the son of this father, so he gets the whole Yerusha, and if he's not the son, then the Yerusha goes to the brother of the mace. So each one wants the whole Yerusha. In this case, the Mishnah would not say that the Sofik ben doesn't get anything. Rather, the din would be Achleiku, just like our case over here of Sava b'Sofik b'nichse Yavam. The Mashal does say that there is an exception to this rule when there's a possibility that the Nachla will leave the Shevet that it originated in. For example, if a woman dies and there's a Sofik, if her son is supposed to Yarshin her and she also has a Vadei brother or father, here, in this case, the Gemara says that Misofik, the Nachla, will not leave the Shevet. We won't give it over to the son. This will cause it to leave the Shevet. Rather, we'll give it to her brother or her father. The Mashal is referring to the Mishnah in Baba Basra, Daf Kufnun, Chesom, and Beis, Nofel, Abayis, Olav, Val, Ima. One can take a look over there. But Akoponim, Le'in Yonenu, where there's no issue of the Nachla leaving the Shevet, it's just a shaila if it should go to the uncle or the nephew or the grandfather or the grandson, which are all in the same Shevet. Here, the Mashal says that there's no such a klal that a Vada Yerish gets before a Sofik Yerish. If the Sofik Yerish perhaps may be a closer relative, then it's still considered a Sofik, and we say Cholkin. Now the Maisa, the truth is, the Ramban in Er Sugyo asks this kasha of the Mashah, from the case of Saba v'Sofik b'nichse Yavam, the Ramban asks, why is this different than the Mishnah on Nafkuf Amid Beis? And the Ramban does not want to learn the Mishnah over there, that it's Bedafka talking about in the case where there are Vadai sons, and this Sofik son wants to get a chelik on the Yerusha, and the Mishnah says that the Vadai sons could push him away. Rather, it's mashma that this Sofik son will never get a Yerusha, even if he's up against the Ach, or the father of the mace. It's mashma that even in that case, the Vadai Karev will get it before the Sofik son. So the Ramban asks, why is that different than our case, where the Saba and the Sofik, they both want to get the Yerusha from the Yavam? We should say the same thing, that the Saba is a Vadai Yerush, and the Sofik is a Sofik Gerish of the Yavam, so the Saba should get the whole thing. Why is it in Yachleiku? And the Ramban gives a teretz. He says that in our case, the Sofik is really a Gerish Memanav Shach. Either he's a son of the mace, Even if he's not a son, he's a nephew of the mace. So he definitely is a Yerush, and the question just is, which Yerush has Kedima, which has priority? If he's a son of the mace, he's first. And if he's a nephew, then the grandfather, meaning the father of the mace, he has Kedima over the nephew of the mace. But we can't say that one is a Vada Yerush and one is a Safik Yerush. Both of them are Vada Yerushim. As opposed to the Mishnah on Daf Kuf Amud Beis, in that case, if this Safik really is not the child of this father who died, he's the child of a different father, and he's not related Bechlal to this mace, and he's not a Yerush Bechlal. So there, in that case, he's a Safik Yerush, so the Vada Yerush gets before the Safik Yerush, even if the Safik Yerush may possibly be a closer Yerush. But in our case, where both of them are Vadoim, there the din is Yachloiku. So in other words, the Ramban asks the same kasha that the Rosh asks earlier in the Sugya, by the case where the Safik and the Yavam both want to get the Yerusha from the mace. The Ramban asks it over here by Saba of his Safik, Benichsa Yavam. However, L'chair, the terrace of the Ramban would also answer the kasha of the Rosh. The case of the Rosh, where the Safik and the Yavam both want to get a Yerusha of the mace. The Rosh asked over there that the Yavam is definitely a brother, and the Safik is a Safik Ben, so the whole thing should go to the brother, and the Rosh had to be Mechadish that the grandfather is alive. According to the Ramban, we have a teretz that since this Safik, Memanav Shach, he's a Yerush, either he's a son of the dead person, or he's a nephew, he's a Vada Yerush. The question just is, which Yerush has Kedima? So the din is Yachloiku. However, we now have to go back to the sheet of the Rosh. The Rosh Lamais himself did not hold of this teretz of the Ramban. And the Chur, if he didn't hold of it, so then the Kasha remains, which is really the Mashal's Kasha. How is the Rosh going to answer from Saba of the Safik, Benichsa Yavam? There, the Chur, the Saba is a Vada Yerush, and the Safik is only a Safik, so the Saba should get the whole thing. And on this, Rabbi Chonon in the Kibbutz Aris, he comes to answer the Shita of the Rosh, and this is what we mentioned earlier on Daf Lamed Zayin Amud Beis as well. Rabbi Chonon says a Yisoid that the Yerusha of a nephew is not a direct Yerusha, rather it comes through the father, through his father, the brother of the mace. And therefore, as long as the brother is still alive, the father of this nephew, then the Yerush is Bechlal, not considered a Yerush. He only gets a shame Yerush after his father dies. And therefore, the Rosh held that this Teretz of the Ramban, by the case of Saba of his Safik Benichsa Yavam, that Memanav Shach, this Safik, has a din Yerush, that's only in that case when the Yavam is dead. So the Safik has a Vadei shame Yerush, either as a son or as a nephew. The Rosh is maskim to that Teretz of the Ramban, and therefore he did not ask his Kasha over there. The Rosh only asked his Kasha in the case earlier, Safik v'yavam b'nichsei misna, they both want the nechasim of the first brother. There, as long as the Yavam is still alive, so this Safik, who may possibly be the son of the Yavam, we cannot call him a Vada Yerush. Anyway, if he's a son, he is a Yerush, but on the tzad that he's a son of the second brother, he's a nephew of the mace, there he's not a Yerush Bechlal, because his father is still alive. Since the Yerusha has to come through his father, and his father himself is still alive, he's not considered a Yerush Bechlal for his uncle. And therefore, over there, the Rosh did ask his Kasha that the Safik is only a Safik Yerush, and the brother is a Vada Yerush. There the din should be that the brother gets the whole Yerusha. And the Rosh had to be Mechadish that the case is talking about that the Saba, the grandfather, is still alive. So in other words, we have a teretz to the Kasha of the Mashah, that the Rosh himself is maskim to the teretz of the Ramban. However, the Rosh holds that that's only in the case over there, not in the case of Safik V'yavam B'nichsei Misna. The Rabbi Chanan over there in the Kibbutz Ha'aris, it's also in Rechidushei Rav Shmuel, Ois Tov Tesvov, he discusses that according to this Mahalach, we'll come out with another important Yisoid. And that is, how exactly does the Yerusha of a brother work? When one brother dies, he doesn't leave over any children, and he doesn't leave over a father either. The din is that his brother gets the Yerusha. Now, Achanim discuss, is the pshat that a brother is a direct Yerush? If one brother dies, the other brother is a direct Yerush of his Nechasim? Or is the pshat that really the Nechasim goes to the son? If there's no son, the Nechasim goes back to the father. And if there's no father, then the father, who's already dead, he gets the Nechasim and passes it along to his other son. In other words, the way one brother yashins the other brother is through the father, not directly. And they say that if we'll assume, like the tzad, that it's through the father, not directly, then the chari, it's still shver, this case of Saba v'Safik b'nichsa yavam, where we explain, like the Ramban says, that the Safik is either way a Yerush, Memanav Shach, either Mikayach being a son, or Mikayach the fact that he's a nephew, and the Chayra on the tzad that he's a nephew, he's getting the Yerusha through his father who's already dead, but if you say that the father's Kayach Yerusha, the father who's a brother of the mace, is because of the grandfather, So in this case, the grandfather is still alive, this last case of Saba V'Safik B'Nichsa Yavam. So again, the kasha will remain, how could we say that this nephew, the grandson, is considered a Vada Yerush? He has to get the Yerusha through his grandfather, and if so, as long as the grandfather is still alive, he should not have a shame Yerush. Just like we explained, Rav Chanan explained B'das the Rosh, that a nephew does not have a shame Yerush if his father is still alive. The same thing would be true if his grandfather is still alive, since the Yerusha has to come through the grandfather. And therefore they say that from here would be a raya, that the Yerusha of a brother is direct, it does not go through their father. When one brother dies, the other brother garshins him directly, as long as there is no father, but the Yerusha does not go through the dead father. And therefore here in this case, of Saba B'Safik B'Nichsa Yavam, where the father of this Safik is already dead, so his claim to the Yerusha is either as a son or as a nephew, and even though his grandfather is still alive, since the Yerusha does not have to go through the grandfather, so we could call this Safik a Yerush B'Teres Vaday. However, Rabbi Shmuel over there asks Akashi, he says it seems to be a Stira B'Das L'Ramban. Because the Ramban, in his Pirush Al Torah, in Parshas Pinchas, the Parsha of Nachlois, there he explains that the way a Yerusha of a brother works is through the father. The Ramban says a Yisoy that all Yerushas either go directly up or directly down, either from a father to the son, or from a son to the father. And therefore, in the case when a person dies and he has no children, the Yerusha goes to the person's father. And if the father is not alive either, then the Yerusha goes through the father back down to the other son. In other words, the Yerusha of her brother is through the father. And that, Reb Shmuel asks, L'chair is a stira to this Ramban over here. The Ramban L'chair here is only understood if you hold that the Yerusha of a brother is not through the father, rather directly. Now we begin the Mishnah. The Mishnah discusses the status of a Shemeres Yavam before she did either Yivam or Chalitza. In the Reisha, the Mishnah discusses about the Nechasim that she has, what rights she has in these Nechasim, while she's in this status of a Zika, which is like a partial marriage. And the Sefer of the Mishnah discusses what happens if she dies before she did Yivam or Chalitza, who gets her Yerusha. And the Mishnah discusses whether the Yershei HaBal get it or the Yershei HaAv get it. Yershei Av means her Yershim, her father, or the same thing would be if she doesn't have a father, her brother. Now what is Yershei HaBal? So Rashi in Divar Maschil Hochi Garsinan V'Sham Me'oimim, Rashi says, V'zocha HaYovam B'chatzi Yerushasai. Rashi says, Shehabal Yershes Ishtoi, V'zu Shesofik Nesuahi Etzloi Zochi B'Palga. This Yovam, who is considered a Sofik Baal, so he gets half of the Nechasim. So Yershei HaBal, according to Rashi, means the Yovam. However, not everyone agrees to this. The Ramah, in Evin Ezer Simon Kuf Samach Siv Zayin, he brings Ar Mishnah, and he brings two days. What does exactly it mean, Yershei HaBal? He says, Yesh Aymerim Shehayovam Hu HaYerish. Afagav Da'avim Adayin Chai. He says that there is a shita that holds the Yavam is always considered the Yerish, even if the mace still has a father alive. In other words, obviously this mace doesn't have any children. If he would have children, there wouldn't be issue of Yibam. But the next Yerush usually is the father. According to this Shita of the Ramah, the father, who is generally the first Yerush, does not get the Yerusha. Rather, the brother, the Yavam, the one who she had a Zika to, he's the one who gets the Yerusha, even though he never ended up doing Yibam in the end. She died before either Yibam or Chalitza was done. And the Beis Shmuel over there is Mavur, that this means to say that all of the Nechasim of the Mace, not only the Nechasim that are coming from the wife, which are discussed in our Mishnah, but all the Nechasim that this person owned, it does not go to his father, rather it goes to his brother, even though Yibam was not Lamaisa done, the Zika itself is the reason why the Nechasim should go to the Yavam. And he says that if there are two brothers, so we don't know which one would have done the Yibam, so then both of them, they share the Nechasim, since the Zika was to both of them, they are the Yershim of the brother and not the father. However, the Ramah continues, V'yesh Aymrim Daha'av Yerish, the father is the Yerish of the Baal. D'miyad Shemesa HaYavama, Poka Zikas Yibmin, V'noflu HaYerusha, Lifnei, HaKoydim B'Yerusha Sabal. This Shita of the Ramah holds that even though Ein Echanami, if the Yavam would have done Yibum, he would have gotten the Yerusha. But in this case, where the wife died before either Yibum or Chalitza was done, so the Zika was Poka, meaning now the Yavama no longer has a Zika to the Yavam, to the brother, so now already the Yerusha of the Mace goes to the first Yerush who would normally Yarshin him if there wouldn't be an issue of Yibum. And that, in this case, is the father, not the brother. And the Ramah continues, and he says that even though the Svara would seem more like the Svara Achroina, the second Shita, and he says the Lashon of the Mishnah as well is Yershei HaBal, not Yershei HaYavam, still he says, L'maisa, it's Mavur from the Gemara, the Bavli, and the Yerushalmi, that in this case, when the Shemeres Yavam died, the one who gets the Yerusha of the husband is the Yavam. Now in the Chedusha of Shimon Shkop on Yavamis, Simon Lamed Vav, he quotes this second Shita of the Ramah, and he proves from here an important Yesod which he's Meirich about, and he says, what is the Pshat, what should be the Tzad that the Yerusha should go to the father of the Mace? Vishnu has own Nechasim, the Nechasim of the Mace. We can understand such a Tzad, his father should be the one to Yarshin him. But how could there possibly be that the Nechasim of the Shemeres Yavam, which the Mishnah discusses, how could these Nechasim possibly go to the father of the Mace? The only Schus he can possibly have is through the Baal, through the husband. And since the husband died before the wife died, then is Ein HaBaal Yerush Bekever. Meaning, if the husband dies before the wife, we don't say that the Yerusha goes over to the husband who's dead and ready to be then passed along to his Yerushim. Rather, the Yerushim of the wife get it. The husband has no schus in these Nechasim. And if so, in our case as well, where there was a Zika for Yibam, but then she ended up dying before Yibam or Chalitza was done, Mishnah, we can understand it's sad to say that the Yavam should get it. Maybe we'll consider him like the husband. But to say that the father of the first husband should get it, for that the Yerusha would have to go through the first husband, and he's dead already. So what's the pshat? How could it possibly go to the Yerushim of the first husband? And furthermore, he asked, the whole tzad in our Mishnah to say that the Nechasim do not go to the Yerusha Av, rather to the Yerusha Abal, is because there's still a Zika by a Shemeres Yavam. However, the Zika is not to the first Baal, it's to the Yavam. So what is the tzad that this Zika should be the cause that the Nechasim should go over to the first husband and eventually to his Yerushim? The Zika is not to him, there's no connection to the first Baal. And because this, Reb Shimon proves that even though the first husband is dead, and b'derech kal after a person dies, he no longer has a connection to his wife, but when there's a Zika for Yibum, that's a cause that the first Ishus, the Ishus to the first husband, remains somewhat, she still has some sort of relationship to the first husband, and therefore there's a tzad to say that the Yerusha should go over to the husband, even though b'derech kal, like we said, ein yerush bekever, but here, we don't consider him bekever, we still consider the relationship alive because of the Zika for Yibum. And therefore, according to the second tzad of the Ramah, the wife's nechasim go to the father of the original husband, because in this case, we do say Yerush Bekever, her nechasim will go through the dead husband onto his Yerushim, which is his father. With this, Rav Shimon answers another kasha. He's bothered that L'chera Er Sugya is Seisar, the Sugya in Daf Yates. The Sugya over there is talking about the Indian of Zika, and the Gemara has a tzad to say, according to Waman, the Omar Zika Kiknusa, the Zika gives her a status as a Nesua, and Lamaisa the Gemara comes out that Lekuli Alma, Zika is not Kiknusa. And here in Er Sugya we find, the Gemara says a Zika as Nesua is a Suffolk Nesua. How do these two Sugyas coincide? And he explains that the Sugya on Daf Yutes is discussing the relationship that the Zikuka has to the Yavam. There the Gemara says that definitely Zika is not Kiknusa, meaning the connection that she has to the Yavam, which is Mechayev or Yibam or Chalitza, that definitely does not give her any dinim as if she's married to this Yavam. Here, however, Reb Shimon says, is a different discussion. Here the Gemara is discussing what kind of relationship is still left from this woman to the original husband. Like he explained, by the fact that there's a Chiyav Yibam to the Yavam, that's the reason why the original relationship to the first husband is still somewhat intact. That's what the Gemara means, Zikas Nesua, Isa Safik Nesua. If she fell to Yibam after she already had a Nesua to the first husband, she may possibly still have certain dinim as a Nesua to him. And therefore, Reb Shimon says, when we discuss the Indian of Yerusha, Legabe the Yerusha, after she dies already, the Zika that she has to the Yavam, which like we said, that's the Sugya and Daf Yates, that relationship definitely evaporates the moment that she dies. The whole connection she had to him was that there was a Zika for him to do Yibam. Once this Zika is Poka, Memel, there's no relationship Bechlal, and there's no Tzad that the Yavam should Yarshin her Mikoyach, that connection that once was. And even though in general the Torah says that a husband Yarshins his wife, that's because the Torah was Mechadish, that the Ishus, the marriage that they had, gives the husband certain Tzchusim, that he could Yarshin her after she dies, as long as up until the point that she died, he was the husband, that gives him rights to her Yerusha afterwards. But the Zika to the Yavam, that definitely would not give him any rights to her Nechasim after she dies and there no longer is a Zika. And the Nidin in Er Sugya, Reb Shimon says, is like we said, the Gari the Zika that this woman has to the first husband. And that's what the discussion is, that perhaps the first husband should have a right to Yarshin her, since his marriage to her was kept alive through the Din Yibum up until the point that she died. So he could still have a din to yerushin her, just like every husband has a yerusha from his wife. So even though lemaisa is not alive, and bedarach klal we say that a baal is not yerush bekever, that's only in the case where there was no yibum. Then once he dies, he no longer has a schus to get the yerusha of his wife who dies later after him. But in this case, where the marriage is kept alive, the husband still could get the yerusha from his wife, and even though he won't get it lemaisa, he's dead, but it will be passed along to his yerushim. This is the pshat in the second tzad of the Ramah, that the father of the mace, he's the one who gets the nechasim. Now go back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah says mesa. If the shemeres yavim dies, so the Mishnah discusses what happens to the ksuba. So Beis Shammai says, yachloiku yoshe ha'bal im yoshe ha'av. So Rashi here on the Mishnah explains, based on the Gemara in Amud Beis at the bottom of the Amud, that Beis Shammai is only talking about the nechsei melug, which is the nechasim ha'nechnosim v'ayotzim ima, not about the ksuba. The ksuba Beis Shammai holds goes to the baal. And Beis Hillel holds, the Mishnah says, Nechosim b'cheskoson, ksuba b'cheskas yoshe ha'bal, nechosim ha'nechnosim v'yetzim ima, b'cheskas yoshe ha'av. Now there's a major machlokes rishonim how to understand the shita of Beis Hillel. Tosis over here in Dibur Maschil Beis Hillel, he's ma'arich about this. And the machlokes is, what exactly does Beis Hillel hold legabe the nechsei tzoin barzel? And Tosis quotes Rashi in ksuba istaf peyom et beiz. This Mishnah by us is identical to the Mishnah in Ksubas Peyom and Beis, and there Rashi explains more than he explains over here. Rashi there says, Nechosim b'ches koson, that Beis Hillel says, that's referring to the Nichsei Tzoyin Barzel. Ksuva b'ches kas Yoshe Yabal, that refers to the money and Masayim and the Tosefes. The Chiv Ksuba that he must give, and that which he adds on his own that he'll give her, that's all part of the Ksuba. And Nechosim ha'nechosim v'yotzim imo, that's a third category, that's Nichsei Melug. Rashi over there explains a little bit more what's called Nichsei Tzoyin Barzel, what's Nichsei Melug. He says Nichsei Tzoyin Barzel is that which she brings into the marriage, and it has a shuma, it gets evaluated, and they write into the ksuba the value of all the property that she brought into the marriage. And the husband is Mekabel Olav Achrayis. He's allowed to use these Nechasim, Rashi says, and he's Mekabel Achrayis that when he divorces her or when he dies, he's going to pay her the value of all the Nechasim that she brought into the marriage. So he could use these nechasim, he could do what he wants with them, but eventually he's mechayiv himself to pay her back for them at the time he dies or divorces her. That's nechsei tzoyin barzel. And nechsei melug, Rashi says, he says, ein shamanai, so you don't evaluate it b'chal, ve'ein ha'yashay lo tzion, he can't give them away or sell them, el mishenichnas al reshusay nechnasim ima, ukashay yaitse yaitsen ima. She brings it into the marriage, and she takes out of the marriage the way it is. In other words, he's allowed to use it, he's allowed to eat the peris. But eventually, when the marriage is over, she takes them back the way they are at that time. And Rashi continues and he explains, what does it mean, nechasim, which we're saying now means the nechsei tzoyin barzel, that's becheskasan. Now what does that mean? Becheskas who? So Rashi there in Pesachim tells us that it means the same thing the Gemara means in Baba Basra, daf kuf nun ches amid beiz. There the Gemara has machlekes amirim. What does it mean, nechasim becheskasan? We'll see in a moment, that's a different case over there. But there the Gemara has machlekes, what does the Mishnah mean, the words nechasim becheskasan? And Rashi says that the same thing will be in Er Mishnah, it will be totally in that same machlekes. What is it talking about over there? That's the Mishnah of Nafal Abayis Olov Val Ishtoi. The husband and the wife, they both died, and we don't know who died first. And there's machlekes who gets the Yerusha of the wife. The Yerushin of the husband say that the wife died first, and therefore the husband Yerushined her. And once he died, his Yerushim get the Yerusha of the wife. And the Yerushim of the wife, her father or her brother, they say, no, maybe the husband died first. And if the husband died first, so afterwards when his wife dies, the husband does not get the Yerusha. The Yerusha goes to her relatives. And the Mishnah over there as well, there's also Machlokes Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, kamat the same Lashon as our Mishnah. Beis Shammai says, Yachloiku, and Beis Hillel Oimer, Nechasim Mecheskoson, Ksuva Becheskas Yoshe Yabal, Nechasim Mecheskoson V'etzim Ima Becheskas Yoshe Yav. And the Gemara over there asks, what does it mean Becheskoson? Becheskas Mi? Who gets these nechasim, which means the nechsei tzoyin barzel, who's becheskasan? And there are three shitas in the Amirayim over there. Reb Lazar says it means becheskas yoshe ha'isha. Reb Yechanan says it means becheskas yoshe ha'bal. And Reb Shlokar says yachloiku. Akoponim Rashi over there in Ksupas Daf Pei says the same achloikis that the Gemara Baba Basra has, which is the same lotion as the Mishnah has by us, nechasim becheskasan, will apply also to Er Mishnah. Here also, when it says nechasim becheskasan, there'll be the same achloikis Amirayim, who gets it? And Lamaisa, the maskana over there is, like Reish Lakish, that they divide it. So according to Rashi here as well, when Beis Hillel says Nechasim Meches Koson, the din is that the Nechsei Tzoyin Barzel is Yachloika, who is divided between the Yoshe Av and the Yoshe Abal. And this is how one day a Paskin's Lamaisa in the Shulchan Aruch, like Rashi, that you divide it. However, most Rishonim argue on Rashi. Tosis over here has an Arichos, as well as in Baba Basra and in Ksubis. And Tosis brings B'Shem Rabbeinu Tam, who argues on Rashi, and he says that the Machlokes Amiram over there in Baba Basra is only over there. It's not Negea to Er Mishnah. The Lashon in that Mishnah, Nechasim Mechaz Kosan, has nothing to do with the Din in Er Mishnah of Nechasim Mechaz Kosan, and that Machlokes does not apply over here. And Rabbeinu Tam proves like this. He says, we see like that from Shitas Beis Shammai. Beis Shammai in Er Mishnah says, Yachloiku, and the Gemara in the bottom of Amud Bey says that it's referring only to the Nechsei Melug, not to the Ksuba. The Ksuba definitely goes to the Yoshe Habal. And the Gemara is Medaike from the Lashon of Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Yachloiku Yoshe Habal im Yoshe Ha'av. That Lashon is Mashma. We're talking about the Nechsei Melug. The Nechsei Melug originally came from the Av, and therefore the Mishnah says that the Yoshe Habal get a chilik of it together with the Yoshe Ha'av. As opposed to the Ksuba, that the Gemara is Mavur, that the Yoshe Habal get it. And the Rabbeinu Tam is Medaik, he says, if you look in the Mishnah in Baba Basra over there the Lashon of Beis Shammai is not Yachloiku Yoshe Habal im Yoshe Av, it's just Yachloiku. If so, Tosis says, that you see over there is different. There, Yachloiku, according to Beis Shammai, will be going on everything, not only on the Nechsei Melug, also on the Ksuba. The Mana and the Masayim, and the Nechsei Tzoyim Barzel as well, on all of it we say Yachloiku. And therefore, Rabbeinu Tam says, it's Muchach, that din in Baba Basra, Nofel Abayis Olav Al Ishtoi, we see that it's different than our case of Shemeres Yavam. And therefore in Beis Hillel as well, you can't compare the two Mishnayis. And Rabbeinu Tam explains, what is the Chilik? L'chayr, both of them are cases of Sfekis. Here's a Shemeres Yavam Shemeso, which we consider her a Sophic. There's a Shaila about who died first. And both of these cases of Sfekis, l'chayr, the din should be the same, that it should go to whoever's considered a Muchzik. And if Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel argue who's considered the Muchzik on the different categories of Nechasim, then the din should be the same here and in the case in Baba Basra. And Rabbeinu Tam explains that over there the suffix is if the husband died first or the wife died first, on the tzad that the husband died first, so the wife definitely gets everything. She gets everything in her ksuba, even though the maisa she didn't collect it yet. Tosis says it's ke'ilu gavsa, it's as if she already collected it, and therefore it gets passed along to her yarshim. If, on the other hand, the wife died first, so she doesn't get anything, the husband gets the yusha of the wife, and everything goes to his yarshim. So in this suffix, the din is, we go by chazaka, and that's the machlokes Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, what's considered b'ches kason. And the nechsei tzoyim barzel, that's the machlokes amayroim, b'das Beis Hillel, what does Beis Hillel mean, nechasim b'ches kason, who's considered the muchzik on the nechsei tzoyim barzel. However, here Tosfos says, when the husband dies, and it's a situation of yibum, so calls man that she's a zkuka, she has no schus in the ksuba, like the Gemara says in Amud Beis, like Rashi explains over there, as long as the Yavam is still alive, he's considered in place of the Baal, and she has no right to be Goyver her Ksuba. This is how Rashi on Amud Beis explains Bedas Beis Shammai. That which the Gemara says Bedas Beis Shammai, that he only holds Yachloiku on the Nechsei Melug, but the rest of the Ksuba, that the din is the Yoshe Baal get it. That's the pshat Rashi explains, is because Leinitna Ksuba Ligvois Mechaim. And Tosfos says that Beis Hillel as well, he also hold like that. The Ksuba, including the Nechsei Tzoyim Barzel as well, that's Becheskas Yoshe Abal, for the same reason, Leninna Ksuba Ligvais Mechaim. Since the husband, at the time he died, there was a situation of Yibum, and through the Yavam it's considered that the original husband is still alive, then afterwards when she dies, so we look at it as if she died Bechaye Habal, and she has no right to collect the Ksuba. The only thing she could get is the Nechsei Melug. The Nechsei Melug goes to her relatives, and even though B'derech Klal, a husband yarshens his wife, he gets the Nechsei Melug as well, that's Medin Yerusha. Not because he doesn't have to pay the Ksuba, it's a different din, he yarshens the Nechasim of his wife. And here, in this case, when Lamaisa, the husband, is not alive, and she's only a Sofik Nesua, so there the Nechasim are considered Beches Kosa in her Rishus, and therefore it goes to the Yoshe Av. And Tosfos is bothered by, according to Rabbeinu Tam, what's the pshat in the Lashon HaMishnah, Nechasim Beches Koson, Ksuva Beches Kas Yoshe Abal, the Mishnah should have put it all together. It should have said Nechasim and Ksuba, they're both Beches Kas Yoshe Abal. And Tosfos gives a teretz to explain why the Mishnah divides it. But the Maisa other Rishonim, who also go al derech Rabbeinu Tam, they learn the Mishnah differently, the Lashon HaMishnah, and this will answer the kasha that Tosfos is bothered by. They learn that Nechasim Beches Kosin is not a third category. It's not the pshat that Beis Hillel has three things, Nechasim, Ksuba, and Nechasim HaNechasim V'yotzim Ima. Rather, Nechasim Beches Kosin is like the heading. It's telling us the klal. The rule is that all the Nechasim, they go by whoever is considered the Muchzik. And then the Mishnah goes and says, who's considered the Muchzik? The Ksuba is Becheskas Yoshe Abal. And Yerushalayim explained, this means to say, the Ksuba includes the Nechsei Tzoyim Barzel, that's all Becheskas Yoshe Abal, as opposed to the Nechsei Melug, that's Becheskas Yoshe Av. So the Mishnah really is not three different things, it's two different things, and that will answer Tosfos' kasha. But al-Kuponim, we have Machoikas Rishonim, Lamaisa, according to Beis Hillel, what's the din with the Nechsei Tzoyim Barzel? According to Rashi, it's telling the Machoikas Amiroim in Baba Basra, and Lamaisa the din is Yachloiku. And according to Rabbeinu Tam and all the Rishonim, the Nechsei Tzoyim Barzel goes to the Yerushei Abal. Just like according to Beis Shammai, that's the din, you don't say Yachloiku. Rather, you say, like, Nidna Ksuba Ligvais Mechayim. The husband is potter from paying the Ksuba, because we look at it as if the wife died before the husband. So too, according to Beis Hillel, the Nechsei Tzoyim Barzel goes to the husband, the Yerushei Abal, because Leinin Naksuva Ligvais Mechayim. Now, Legabi Nechsei Tzoyim Barzel, there's a very fundamental Machloikis Achreinim, which the Chor is Negea to this Tosfos. And that is, we know that when a wife dies, the din is that the husband Yarshins the wife. The Nechsei Malug that she brings into the marriage, so even though they're really hers all along, the husband just has a schus to eat the peres, and when the marriage is over, they should go back to the wife. But the husband is considered the first Yerush to his wife, and therefore he gets the Nechsei Milug when she dies. So that's Midin Yerusha. We also know that if the wife dies before the husband is potter from paying the Ksuba. The Ksuba which includes the money, the Masayim, the Tosefes. The reason why the husband does not have to pay that is not because he's the Yerush of his wife, rather because the Shtar Ksuba, this contract which is Mechayiv him to pay her this amount, is only if certain circumstances are met. And that is if they get divorced, or if the husband dies. If she dies before the husband, then the ksuba was never mechayev him to pay her anything under these circumstances. So it has nothing to do with the din Yerusha. Rather, it's because he never was mechayev himself anything under these circumstances. Now, what about Nechsei Tzoyim Barzel? Like we explained before, Nechsei Tzoyim Barzel, the husband takes it, he can do what he wants with it, and in exchange for that, he's mechayev himself in the ksuba for the amount that we evaluate these nechasin. Now, what happens when the wife dies before the husband? That which the husband does not have to pay back for these nechasim is the pshat that it's like the money, masayim, and tosefes, that he never was mechayiv himself in the first place to pay this amount only under certain circumstances, if they get divorced or if he dies. And in this situation, when she dies first, the same way he doesn't have to pay the money, masayim, and tosefes, he doesn't have to pay the value of the tzoyim barzel either. In other words, we look at it as if he got these nechasim and he did not have to pay for them. The Nechsei Tzoyim Barzel he gets, he could do what he wants with it, but in exchange, he makes an Ischaivus, but the Ischaivus is not under all circumstances. And therefore, in certain cases, he won't have to pay back if the circumstances are not met. That's one tzad. The other tzad is to say that really, when he's Mechayiv himself for the Nechsei Tzoyim Barzel, it becomes like a Chayiv. In other words, even though he could keep these Nechasim, but in exchange for that, he has a Chayiv to pay her back the value. And the only reason when she dies, why he does not have to pay it to her Yarshim, is because he's her Yarish. He's the first Yarish. Just like he keeps the Nechsei Milug, he also does not have to pay back for the Nechsei Tzoyim Barzel. The Pnei Yeshua in Ksubis Daf Mem Zayin, he understood, like the Tzad, that the husband gets him a Din Yerusha. And he was actually bothered by Akasha. He says, we know the Din is that a Baal is not Yarish, Beroi Kibim Muchzik. In other words, the Baal only gets the Nechasim of his wife that she has at the moment she dies. But if, for example, she's owed a chayiv by someone, that's not something which is available at the moment she dies. On that, there's no din that the husband yarshins her. That will go to her other yarshim, not to the husband. This is a similar concept that we find by a bechor. Ein a bechor yarish beroi ki bemuchzik. That which a bechor gets a double chelek, that's only in the nechasim of the father, that are there at the time of the death. Nechasim that are owed to the father, on that the bechor does not get double. But al-Kopanim the Pnei Yeshua asks Akasha, if the klal is that a husband does not yarshin beroi ki b'muchzik, then why is it that the Nechsei Tzoyim Barzel, the Baal does not have to pay her back? The Nechsei Tzoyim Barzel is a chayiv that he owes her. In exchange for getting these Nechsei Tzoyim Barzel, he's mechayiv himself to pay her back. So l'chayiv, he should not be able to yarshin this chayiv. Even though this chayiv is owed by him himself, what's the difference if someone else owes the money or he himself owes the money? Either way, there's a chayiv that's owed to this wife, and on that the Baal should not get the Yerusha should go to her other relatives. And the Avni Miluim and Simon Nun Beis, Sifkot and Aleph, he answers this kasha and he says, no, that's not the pshat of Nechsei Tzoyim Barzel. That which a husband gets to Nechsei Tzoyim Barzel is not Midin Yerusha. Rather, it's the same reason he doesn't have to pay the rest of the ksuba, the money, Masayim, and Tosefes. The Ischaivus of a ksuba is only under certain conditions, and since in this case these conditions have not been met, he was not Megarasher, and he did not die before her, the same way he's potter from the rest of the ksuba, he's also potter for the Nechsei Tzoyim Barzel. So al-Kuponim, we see there's a machloikis how to understand why is it that b'derech chal, a husband does not have to pay for the Nechsei Tzoyim Barzel. Now, some of the contemporary Svarim point out that L'chair, this Shita of the Rabbeinu Tam over here should be totally in this Machloikas Achreinim. Rabbeinu Tam says, since the Klal is L'nit Naksuva Ligvais Mechayim, that in this case, when a person dies and there's a Zika for Yibum, it's considered that the first husband is still alive and he's not Machlif to pay the Ksuba. And Rabbeinu Tam says, for that same reason, the Yoshea Baal get the Nichsei Tzayim Barzel and not the Yoshea Av. L'chair, that makes sense if you hold like the Tzad, that the Nechsei Tzayim Barzel is like the rest of the Ksuba, it's an Eschaivis of the Baal, and until the conditions of the Ksuba are met, he does not have to pay for this Eschaivis. Therefore, in this case, where after the husband died, there was a Zika for Yibam, and then she died, we look at it as if she died B'chayi HaBaal, so the husband does not have to pay the Nechsei Tzayim Barzel. If, however, you hold like the other Tzad, like the Pnei Yeshua, that the way Nechsei Tzayim Barzel works, that usually goes to the husband, is Midin Yerusha, just like the Nechsei Melug. So in this case where she dies, and she has a din of a Safik Nesua, the question is, who should get her Yerusha? And that it wouldn't make sense to say, because the Shaila is not whether the conditions of the Ksuba have been fulfilled or not. The question is, who should get her Yerusha? And since it's a Safik, it should be tolling the same Shaila as the Mishnah in Baba Basra, B'makam Safik, who gets the Nechsei Tzayim Barzel? Here as well, it should be tolling the same Achloikas Amirayim over there, who should get this Yerusha of the Nechsei Tzayim Barzel? And we could perhaps explain, this is really the Machloikas Rashi and Tosfos. Maybe Tosfos holds like the Tzad of the Avnei Miluim, that the din of the Nechsei Tzayim Barzel is like the din of the rest of the Ksuba. That which the husband always gets it is not Midin Yerusha, rather it's because the conditions of the Ksuba have not been fulfilled. Therefore we could say the Klal over here, L'nit Naksuba Ligvais Mechayim. Rashi on the other hand maybe holds that over here, L'nit Naksuba Ligvais Mechayim will not apply to the Nechsei Tzayim Barzel. It's a question of Yerusha, and therefore Rashi says that it will be telling the same machloikis as the Gemara Baba Basra. There are others who say that behemshech haTosfos, there's a raya that Tosfos holds like the Pnei Yeshua. We don't have time for that right now. But if you'll say like that, then we'll have to explain here also when Rabbeinu Tam says that on the Nechsei Tzayim Barzel we also say like Nindak Suba Ligvais Mechaim, we'll have to give an explanation how that could fit even with the Shita of the Pnei Yeshua. Now one final point, the Gemara says that Zikas Arusa Oisek Sofik Arusa, Zikas Nesua Oisek Sofik Nesua. And there seems to be a machoikis rishonim, what exactly is this Sofik? Why do we consider a Zikuka a situation of a Sofik? Rashi and the Anomaraf Dibar Maschal Keshehi Nesua, Rashi says that Azikas Arusa is a Sofik Arusa, he says, the Agidobei, Velav Ishtoi Mamashi. The reason why we're calling her a Sofik is because she's Agidobei, she has some connection to him, but on the other hand, it's not Ishtoi Mamish, it's not a full-fledged wife. That creates a situation of a Sofik. However, if we take a look in the Rashba and the Ritva, they both, when they say this Lashon of Sofik Arusa, or Sofik Nesua, they explain why is it considered a Sofik, and they say, Mishum Desafkalon B'shas Nefilo Im Yiyabim Oyachleitz. Because we have a Sofik, what eventually is going to happen? Is he going to do Yibam or is he going to do Chalitza? If he eventually does Yibam, that will show that this Kuka really was considered his wife. And eventually she does Chalitza, then we'll see that really she's not his wife. And it's mashma from these Rishonim that it's not a Sofik Ladina. It's not a Sofik in what kind of status she has. Rather, it's a Sofik Atoli Ba'osid. It's a Sofik, what is going to happen in the future? We're not sure, is she eventually going to have Yibam or is she eventually going to have Chalitza? And in the Chiddush of Shmuel, he discusses this, and he asks on these Rishonim, from that which Rabbah asked the Kasha on Ula, the Gemara in Amud Beis, Rabbah asked, that according to Ula's Pshat in the Gemara, Ad miflugi begufa ula achar miso, liflugu bechayeo ula peiros. According to Ula's Pshat, the Machlokes Beishamai Beisil should have been about what is the status of the peiros while she's still alive. Who gets to eat the peiros? According to Beishamai, they should divide the peiros, and according to Beis Hillel, she should get the peiros. And Rav Shmuel asked, how would it make sense to say they argue about the peiros? Mishnah, if she died, and the question is the Gabi Yerusha, that makes sense. But according to these Rishonim, that the Sofik is because we're not sure what eventually is going to happen, how does it make sense to say that they should argue Mechayim ulegabi haperis? Let's wait to see what happens. If eventually he does Yibam, so then we'll know all along that he was considered her husband, and therefore he should get all the peiros. If eventually he does Chalitza, then all the peiros will have to go to her. It's something which is yet to be determined. How could we call this a Sofik? Let's just wait to see what happens in the end. That's Rav Shmuel's kasha on these Rishonim and he leaves B'tzarachiyin. However, Rav Shmuel does bring a riot to this tzad. He says the Ramah in Simen Kuf Samach Siv Zayin quotes B'Shem the Ma'arik that B'zman Hazeh, that we don't do Yibum, rather we force the Yavim to do Chalitza, so according to this, we don't consider her a Sofik Nesua. And therefore, the Ma'arik Lamaisa paskins that Lagabi the Nechostim, she's not a Sofik, rather the Nechostim will go to the Yerusha Av. And Rav Shmuel says, this seems to be mashma, like the svar of the Rishonim, that the suffix is, what in the end is going to happen, yibam or chalitza. And therefore the Ma'arik holds, that if there's no option of yibam, then we don't consider her a suffix. If you would say like the Shita of Rashi, that what makes the suffix is lemativ of zika, zika alone is like a mixas ishus, and it's a suffix if it has dinim of an isha legabi the Yerusha, then it would make no difference if lemaisa he has an option of yibam, or we're not going to allow him to do yibam. Either way, her matzav of Zika creates a situation where she's considered a suffix.
You have been listening to the Shiurim of Shas Illuminated. Shas Illuminated is a non-profit organization dedicated to broadening the learning of those studying the Daf worldwide. If you would like to make a donation or to dedicate a Daf or Masechta, please visit our website at shasilluminated.org or call 203-312-SHAS. You can also email us at shasilluminated@gmail.com.